Good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? It's the good word. What's happening? Brewers staved off the sweep yesterday afternoon. A little midday baseball. Never hurt nobody. 1-0 the Brewers win. How about that? How about the crew? Willie Adames breaking things up on King. Oof, that's gotta be tough for King. And a bullpen day for the crew, who absolutely dominate, get it done. No runs for the Padres. Brewers win 1-0. A nail biter. Ebner Uribe making some awesome, huge play there. What, in the 8th inning before Piamps came in and closed her down? Stop, drop, and shut it down and open up shop. Getting that save, the second of the year. But Uribe with the friggin' little scoop and the freaking missile to first base to make sure it was, you're out. And the Brewers would continue on. But yeah, Bryce Wilson gets in there. Bryce Wilson goes, 3 2/3, only 2 hits, 2 strikeouts, 1 walk, 57 pitches. And it was announced yesterday, about 9:55 yesterday morning, it was announced that he'd be pitching. And it's like, oh no. They're like, oh, here comes a loss. Here we go. It's mm-mm. Well, Wilson was nice. Hudson came in, was nice. Peguero was nice. Uribe gets the win, nice, especially defensively. And then again, Piamps with a save. The bullpen, it was a masterclass from Pat Murphy out there pulling the right strings for his managerial prowess. My guy, Pat Murphy. Craig Council holding this team back years previous, which is wild to say, as we were living in the Brewers' golden era. But, they always say, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Things aren't always better. Things don't always get better. Sometimes they could get worse. Well, I don't know. Early returns of Pat Murphy, I kind of would say things feel better. Now, again, very early returns. And this is the first series that the Brewers have lost. But for the Milwaukee Brewers, if you're going to be doing what they're doing as they're 11-6, if you're going 11-6 along the way, you are going to be in a 90-plus win team in Major League Baseball. So we'll take it right now. Love it. Love the gruff of the Brewers. Love everything about it. Let's see here. We'll get into that. We have time. The Milwaukee Bucks. Dame time practice yesterday. Giannis, of course, did not. Malik Beasley is following up on some comments he made earlier in the season about the Pacers, talking about manifesting. We'll dive into that. Playing games last night. 76ers win, Bulls win. The Bulls throttled the Hawks. Sixers just got by against the Heat. So we got some NBA. Speaking of NBA, naughty, naughty boy in Jontay Porter. Lifetime ban out of the NBA. Mr. Gambling Man. Definitely dive into that. It's been a tough go-around for gamblers lately, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. His translator. His friend. He's in trouble with the feds. Jontay Porter just got a lifetime ban from the NBA. He was not the greatest of gamblers. It's just not been a good go-around for gambling lately for some of these guys. Getting caught, getting busted. That's... Do better. And then we got Packers draft. We're 1 week away from today. 1 week away. 1 week away from the draft in Detroit. 1 week. Next Thursday. It's going down, baby. See what the Packers can do with all that draft capital. So we got that. Some college football news. Kind of a little quiet on that front. And then, how we all been not happy with NIL to a degree and the transfer portal? I guess mostly NIL. Of how it's you can't put this genie back in the bottle. There's people just jumping ship every year, demanding money. Well, for example, AJ Store for the Badgers, the rumor, who knows if it was, how much water it holds or not. But AJ Store asked for $1 million from Kansas, and Kansas is like, no, dude, we got $750,000 for you. Take it or leave it. He's like, I'll leave it then. So we had that, right? And well, scratch your heads. You got football, guys driving Caleb Williams. He's the biggest money maker for NIL. He's coming in, going to be a Chicago Bear with speaking of the draft upcoming. And you're this guy's driving around a Lamborghini and a cool sports cars. He's, demanding things already. He's not even a professional yet, not even drafted. As we're seeing, this NIL stuff, blah, blah, blah. Well, yesterday, I'm scrolling through Twitter. I thought this was a joke. Like, I'm scrolling through Twitter, and I even saw, like, Rob Domofsky tweeting about it. And I'm like, okay, well, like, maybe this isn't a joke. You've got one of the big-time, you know, beat reporters for the Packers tweeting about it. Now, NIL in college, we're also trying to, like, figure it all out. We're also trying to, really gripping with it. Like, it's like the Wild West happening right now. But I do agree, like, and I think a lot of people would, that I think everyone should, actually. If you're a college football player, your name, your image, your likeness, you should get money on that. Like, before, like, you sell an autograph, you get in trouble. You'd be like, I mean, look at the guys at the Shoebox for Wisconsin back in the day. You know, they got, like, you should be able to get, it's your name, it's your image, it's your likeness. You should be able to make money off that. Well, here's the next twist. And by the way, shout out to Big Bucky 29, my man, watching you at the Singapore airport. Hell yeah, I hope your vacation was awesome, my man. Here's this, though. Here's the twist. So college, we're figuring it out, right? I want to get everyone's take on this because it's wild to me. Yesterday, I'm scrolling around, right? This is happening. This is true. NIL deals for Wisconsin high schoolers could soon be a reality. They're going to be voting on it. The Wisconsin, you know, the WIAA are going to be having their upcoming meeting here, which is April 24th. And the athletic directors are going to vote on allowing high school athletes to profit on their name, their image, their likeness. Just like the collegiate athletes in universities have been doing since 2021. So again, we have this in college, but now the vote next week, again, April 24th for the WIA, they're going to be voting on high schoolers getting NIL money. Huh? All right. High schoolers, again, could be cutting deals, you know, if businesses want to, I guess, if this vote passes with the likes of, like, you know, Quick Trip, like some of the Badgers are doing, or, you know, Pin Seekers, which some of the Badgers are doing. I know Exact Sciences, they got some NIL stuff. You know, insert business here, NIL for high school students, wow. I mean, there's positives on it, sure, but I think more negatives than positives. I don't know. I got to hear from some of you guys at 608-321-1670. How do you feel about NIL now dipping into high school athletics? As, again, the vote is going down next week, April 24th, they're going to do this. That's next Wednesday, so we're less than a week away from that. I was scrolling around. I'm like, I had so many reactions to this. I'm like, what? NIL deals for high school athletes. Could you imagine in some of these, if you got one big time recruit, some really good high school athlete, and he comes walking in there and he's making, and he's in high school, mind you, and he's making more money than, I don't know, his teachers, the faculty, maybe even some parents, and he's walking around in gym class just strutting his stuff, being like, yeah, dude, I just pulled up in my new Lamborghini, man. You should see my bank account right now. I'm not even 18, man, but I've got millions, and all I do is play high school sports. It's crazy. This is nuts to me. Kinger saying, do they have to be 18 to do that? I do believe so, but still, I got to look into all the details of this. They're still voting on it, so it's not a reality yet. Nuts, though. It is nuts. I washed dishes when I was in high school for, like, you know, to save up for a guitar and just to have a little money. What else did I do? I roofed some houses. I did some siding. Now, you know, I played soccer my whole life all year round. Man, it would have been nice to get paid to do it. All right, news of the weird. Caitlin Clark, obviously, like, huge right now in the news cycle. Some reporters just can't help themselves with being weird.
Yeah.
Like, Greg Doyle, his name is. of the Indy Star.
Yeah.
This is bizarre. So Caitlin Clark and her family, whenever they, like, you know, game's over or they see each other and something big happens, they do the, you know, you make a heart with your hands.
Yeah.
You do, like, the heart, and then they, like, you know, it's their sign to each other. Say, I love you, you know, good job, good game. They do the little heart sign. So Greg Doyle, again, reporter for the Indy Star, Caitlin Clark had her introductory press conference with the Fever yesterday, and Greg Doyle just made a, just went full creep on everyone, and he took a lot of heat online.
Somebody already added it to his Wikipedia page.
So you can't see it, obviously, and in the video that I'm going to play, you can't see it either, but Greg Doyle, he does the heart. Like, you put your two hands together in the form of a heart, and he does it to Caitlin Clark, and then the conversation ensues from there. Take a listen.
Hi. Caitlin, Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
There's the heart.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be get along just fine. So, question.
Start doing it to me, and we'll get along just fine. And Caitlin Clark had this look on her face like, huh?
Yeah.
What? And then he went off to say his question. And then Greg Doyle, like, fired off a bunch of articles yesterday about Caitlin Clark and how important she is and how big she's going to be. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then he's just getting lambasted online. Just, he's like, everyone's like, dude, you are a weirdo. You are a creep.
There are lawyers who, well, I shouldn't say lawyers, claim to be lawyers, but they got professional headshots on Twitter. So who really knows? They're like, just going out on a limb here and letting you know she could probably sue for sexual harassment.
It was bizarre. Like, it was weird.
Yeah.
And Greg Doyle, after just getting just hammered online, still is getting hammered online. They're even changing his Wikipedia profile about how he's a creep.
Yeah, it's already on his Wikipedia profile.
He fired off like two articles yesterday about Caitlin Clark and her importance. Yeah. And then last night at 10:30, after just getting torched online, writes another article for the Indy Star. Here's the headline. Caitlin Clark, I'm so sorry. On Wednesday, I was a part of the problem. And then he goes on to do a woe is me piece about how devastated he is. He screwed up. What happened to me, what happened was the most me thing ever. I'm sort of known locally for having awkward conversations with people. And it was very bizarre. It was like, you start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine. It's like, what does that mean?
That's not awkward.
It's just bizarre. Yeah,
that's not awkward. That's you being thirsty and trying to shoot your shot in front of everybody.
It's so weird.
While you're at work, by the way.
Yeah. Then he goes down talking about how he was in denial. Then he was in anger. He's talking about how his heart dropped and he was ignorant about it all. And what I've learned is that I'd need to be more aware about how I talk to people, not just athletes. I realized that only after my exchange with Clark went viral and I navigated the first two stages of grief during a discussion with people I care about the most. And he was talking about how it affected him and how at first he thought it was everyone else's problem. He didn't do anything wrong. And then it was just like, I got to do better as treating athletes the same. It was really bizarre.
That's not even athletes.
Because you wouldn't have done it to a dude.
No.
It was so weird.
Imagine
so
weird. If the Pacers had the number one pick and they brought in the best player in since LeBron James, right?
Yeah.
Would he have done that? And would that player have been like, oh, you like that?
She's like, oh, do you like that? I do that to my family. Well, start doing it to me, and we'll get along just fine.
Like, huh? That's he is still in the denial. Where if you have to write an article saying, I have these awkward conversations with people all the time.
I know why he wrote the article. For clicks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's going to take advantage of him being a creep and get clicks out of it.
Now, here's the thing. In most other professions, had this happened, you'd be fired.
It was like, very awkward and bizarre.
Because you did this at work, you should be fired.
I was like creeped out just like, and Caitlin Clark's like, what?
Is his like boss looking at it and be like, oh, that's just Greg.
Well, he was like attacking Dan Hurley and everyone from Indianapolis was like, dude, he's done weird things with the Colts. He's just a bizarre reporter. He even says in his article. He's like, I've known for awkward exchanges. This was just weird.
Okay, if you're that self-aware that you know you're saying stuff that's inappropriate, you need a new profession. You cannot be a beat reporter anymore. The access you have to people on a daily basis.
It's so strange.
You can't. Like,
he's in love.
Right now, if I were the sports editor, I'd be like, hey, by the way, you're off the Indiana Fever beat.
Yeah, you're creeping on all the ladies there, yeah. Dude. It's time.
Let's send you to the... Does Indianapolis still have a AAA baseball team? That's where you're going.
He goes, in my haste to be clever, to be familiar and welcoming, or so I thought, I offended Caitlin and her family. After going through denial and anger, I'm on the wrong side of this. Me. I realized and I said and I did was wrong, wrong, wrong. I mean it. I was wrong. Caitlin Clark, I'm so sorry. End of article.
Yeah, he's not sorry.
Bizarre.
Like you said, he's doing it for the clicks.
Oh, he's totally doing it for the clicks.
Yeah, but like, in no way, this goes along the lines of some of those interviews you've seen with like movie stars and where they're like, oh, what are you wearing? You look pretty good in that dress today. It's like, what?
He said, someone I respect and know said to me, Caitlin Clark is a young woman. You don't talk to a young woman the same way as you would a young man, do you? Like, no. What he did was just weird. Start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine. What does that mean? Like, I think he's in love. I think he's crushing.
Yeah.
Man, it's awkward. It's strange.
I'm telling you, he was shooting his shot.
Weird. Very bizarre. With our guy from Forbes.com, Conley Media, Rob Reichel. Robbie, what's up, brother? Been missing you.
Well, I miss you every day, Evo. How are you?
I'm good, but I'm great now, Rob. You know, hope all springs right, eternal, all right? It's like a spring blossom here when you, like you're raining on me and I'm blooming with all this Packers chatter.
The sweet talk with you, I could spoon it up all day, Evo.
Hey, have you mowed your lawn yet, Rob?
You know, I'm going to actually do that this weekend. I'm right there. Great question.
Well, yeah. Here in, you know, Madison, they're like, no mow May. I'm like, dude, it's April, and I'm already looking around. I'm like, I got to mow this damn thing. I'm not letting it go all the way through May. I'm mowing, Rob. I'm mowing soon, baby.
That is one rule I don't think I would be obeying right now. Yeah, it's getting pretty long.
Hey, Rob, how about this? You know, we got the draft a week away, believe it or not. Just crazy. I got to ask you, though. So I was thinking about this because the offseason program has begun for the Packers earlier this week. And we don't have to worry about Aaron Rodgers not showing up. But last year, Jair Alexander didn't show up. And now after that, when he made himself an honorary captain, almost screwed up the coin toss, Matt LaFleur and Goody suspended him for a game. They had like a come to Jesus meeting. Jair was there this year, walking with Xavier McKinney. How about that? The veteran leadership showing up to the offseason program. That's a good sign. Yeah, Rob?
All right, I'm going to stop you right now and just say that needs to be the last time you use the word leadership.
What? He was a captain, Rob. He made himself one.
The rest of our tenure that we do this when it comes to Jair Alexander, okay? Evo, I'm waiting for the day when you name yourself like honorary captain of the radio, you know, president of the radio station.
I already have done that, Rob. I've already done that.
All right, and I'm sure your bosses absolutely love that. Evo. Yeah.
I didn't tell them that I did. I just, you know.
Oh, all right. Well, see, that's the difference. Jair didn't tell Matt either. He just went ahead and did it, and then they dealt with the results, right? No, I mean, hey, is it a good sign? Of course it is. You hope he's growing up. You hope he's more mature. Of course you do, right? But I think you're going a step too far. The guy's obviously, when he's right, Evo. Well, you know, when the guy's right, he's a top five corner in the National Football League. And you saw him come back, and he had a big impact in the Dallas game in the postseason after having probably, Evo, his worst regular season as a pro in his 6 years as a pro. It was a very inconsistent up and down year top to bottom for him, Evo. So, I mean, they need him to be right if they're going to take the next step. So, you know, if he's showing up April 15th, which he did when everything got going with the off-season program, that's obviously a good sign for everybody. I don't know that I'd want him exactly steering the boat and trying to lead Xavier McKinney and, you know, a lot of these other guys, Eric Stokes and Carrington Valentine and Robert Rochelle and Keyshawn Nixon down the river with him. But because I think that thing's going to eventually sink like the Titanic. But, and you know, the fact that he's there under a new defensive coordinator, Evo, is obviously a good sign.
Hey, Rob, I figured you'd like that one of my take on Jair. The veteran leadership leading the way, man.
Yeah, that's there's a lot of oxymorons in life, Evo, that we can throw out there. The one I've always felt was really off base was military intelligence, and everybody wanted to throw that one out there first. But definitely, it's a major oxymoron when we use the term veteran leadership with Jair Alexander.
Well, Robbie, I mean, okay, real quick before we get into some draft stuff, obviously Jordan Love, like, you know, a leader. I don't think I'm wrong in saying that. Who is, you know, Kenny Clark? Like, who would you say is like the leader of this team now with Aaron Jones gone?
Yeah, that's a great question. Jones certainly was the leader last year on offense. Now, I mean, now clearly it needs to be Love. He's, you know, Evo, it's tough to jump in and be a leader when you don't have the resume as a player to back it up. And let's be honest, a year ago, Jordan Love just didn't have the resume. He hadn't proven anything on the field. Well, you look at the second half of his season, Evo, where he was absolutely outstanding. Probably a top five quarterback in the National Football League, leads them to the divisional playoffs, and honestly, Ebo should come back this year as probably a top five MVP candidate in the league. He's undoubtedly your leader. You can go to some offensive linemen there. Ebo, Elton Jenkins has been around a long time. Josh Myers has been around a long time. Rest of those guys are a little bit younger. Rashid Walker or Zach Tom or Sean Ryan, you know, guys like that, you know, but your leaders then are up front. And, you know, Romeo Doubs has a chance to blossom into a leader on that side of the ball. I would think Evo, especially the way he performed in the postseason. But if you want to just look up at straight up leader, it's clearly best when it is your quarterback, when it is one of your best players, when it is your flat out best player. And Love turned into that a year ago. They've got more options undoubtedly on defense, Evo. They're going to be transitioning there, though, as we know, into that 4-3 base, and we'll see how that plays itself out. Kenny Clark's already and has been, Ebo, a terrific leader the last year or two with a really young defensive line, especially last year. When you look at that defensive line on a whole, Ebo, it was really young with rookies like Brooks and Wooden, and then T.J. Slayton in his first year as a starter. And you know, they were really young up front a year ago. Clark's still young himself, Evo, in at least in human years. I think he's about 28, but it feels like he's been in the league forever. He was a first round pick in 2016. So it's already his ninth year with the organization. Preston Smith, Evo's been around the block and around the league for a long time. You know, with what they're paying Rashawn Gary, Evo, and the fact that this will be his fifth year in the organization, maybe even his sixth.
I think it's his sixth. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, he was 2019, I guess, wasn't he? So it's year six for him.
Wild.
And he's more of a quiet leader, Evo, but he is, you know, he is a guy that's thoughtful and he's well spoken when he wants to be. I would say those jump to the forefront in terms of defensive leaders, Ebo, probably Clark, Geary, and Preston Smith. Quay Walker's still a little bit young. Isaiah McDuffie hasn't done enough probably on the field yet. We've talked about Jair. He's not there. Eric Stokes has to prove coming back that he can, you know, from injury. Xavier McKinney just showed up, Ebo. So, you know, but hey, it's still going to be a really young roster, yeah, top to bottom, Ebo. You know, even when we look at the last two drafts, 2022, 2023, that almost everybody from there is, you know, from those two units is still going to be on this football team. The average age of this group, the team, Ebo, is going to be extremely young. Then you're going to, right now, we look ahead to the 2024 draft. They've got 11 picks. I truthfully, Ebo, I don't see 11 spots available right now for guys to make this roster. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Gutekunst sees it differently. I think he winds up taking this down to about 9, where he trades quantity for quality when it's all said and done, and he puts this thing together, and they don't have quite as many rookies on the field and on the roster as they did the last couple of years, Ebo. But I guarantee you, when we do all the math in late August, early September, when we see the 53 that made the roster, Ebo, it's still going to be one of the youngest teams, you know, across the board in the league. So they're going to need some of those guys we touched on right there to step up and become, you know, if they haven't been leaders up till this point, they certainly have, you know, the most experience in the organization, that it's kind of their time to take that leadership role.
You know, one of my favorite movies, Rob, and a moniker of the Packers, the Young Guns, coming up here, baby. Hell yeah. Hey, Rob. Hey, draft upcoming. Hey. Yeah.
No, I mean, undoubtedly. I mean, we saw last year, right? Youth in that league wins. It's a little bit different maybe than some of these other sports where experience a lot of times wins the day. But Green Bay showed last year just the power of youth, especially when it's gifted youth and how these guys can grow up in the course of a season. I mean, I remember just after the draft last year, Evo, and we kind of went across the board and we tried to make predictions of how various things would go. And I think you and I were both in agreement at a lot of these spots that the start of the year was going to be really rough in terms yep. of how young they were going to be at some of these spots, wide receiver, tight end, right? Other places across the board like that. And that's exactly how their season played out. They really struggled offensively the first 8-9 games and took off the second half of the season as these guys got 30, 40, 50, 60 snaps a game. And experience wise, they kind of grew up in front of your eyes and that growth should certainly continue this year, Evo. And, you know, 9 wins will not be enough when they put this thing back together again here in the next few months when they get to the actual season starting in September. 9 wins will not satisfy anybody inside that building. This should be a team that challenges for a division, challenges for a conference championship, and has a really good chance to go to a Super Bowl.
Rob, I got some WIA questions for you, but before that, Forbes.com, beautiful publication that you write your amazing articles on. Tell the folks what you're doing. You do it every year, but tell the folks what you're doing leading up to the draft next Thursday.
Yeah, we do a thing, Evo, or I do a thing, kind of a big position-by-position breakdown. It's kind of a two-tiered jobber where we look at where the Packers kind of stand at every position and then look at the guys that might make some sense for them to go ahead and draft. So I think a day or two ago, wide receivers went up, for example, right? On paper, Ebo, in theory, now again, they have 11 draft picks, including 5 in the first 3 rounds, so there's a lot of draft capital there and a lot of ways Brian Gutekunst could go. But you kind of look at that group right now, Ebo, for example, and you say, all right, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson, Bo Melton, right? Where do you need another one? Do you want another one, et cetera, right? Those 5 guys right there, Evo, the top 5, you would call them, are going to average just over 24 years of age when we get to, when we get to September and kick off the 2024 season. It's a young group. It's a growing group. It's a gifted group that should get better and better with Jordan Love. But then he flashed back, Evo, and the model that Ted Thompson kind of built, and other than a year or two late in Aaron Rodgers' career, a model Ted Thompson was really vigilant in terms of following was you never have enough pass catchers across the board, for example, for your quarterback. So it's a great wide receiver draft, Evo. I would think 6 or 7 going round 1. I would think up to 20 going the first 3 rounds. There's going to be a couple of times on the board where Brian Gutekunst, I can almost guarantee Evo, gets there if it's the middle of the second round, if it's the third round, whatever, and the highest player on his board is going to be a wide receiver. Does he throw another body into that room like Ted Thompson did back in 2008, Evo, for example, when he threw Jordy Nelson into the room that already had Greg Jennings, who was a Pro Bowler, Donald Driver, who was on his way to becoming the Packers' all-time leader in catches, and James Jones, who was already off an outstanding rookie season back in 08, Evo. You didn't think they needed a wide receiver, and Ted Thompson went and got one. And as Jordy Nelson grew up, it was obviously a huge reason they won a Super Bowl a couple of years later in 2010. So, you know, is that something Brian Gutekunst could go ahead and do? So we kind of look at where the Packers are, Evo, at every position like that, for example, and then look at guys that could jump in and make some sense for Green Bay to potentially draft. And, again, Evo, this is a fascinating draft to me if I'm a Packer fan, because you look across the board and you say, if he uses all 11, you know, where are you taking 11 guys, right? You obviously need a couple linebackers. You probably need 3 guys in the defensive backfield. You need a couple offensive linemen. But after that, there's not any great, huge pressing needs. I mean, they've kind of taken care of some stuff in free agency. They added Greg Joseph at kicker to compete with Carlson. So I don't think you draft a kicker necessarily. So, I mean, when you put it all together, Evo, it's really going to be, you know, a draft where Brian Gutekunst probably has way more capital than he technically needs. And now, you know, he's in the catbird seat in a lot of these places. And what's he going to go ahead and do with these picks? Is he going to sit pat and use them? Is he going to go, you know, a two for one Ebo and package two picks to move up to 15 or something in the first round to get the offensive lineman he might want or something like that? It's going to be a lot of fun on draft weekend.
Now, I can't wait, Rob. You know, we're a week away, so strap in, baby. Get ready. Rob, you also do a little covering some high school athletics as well, my friend. I got to get your take on next Wednesday, and this has been a big topic today because I saw it last night, and I saw some other Packers reporters like being like, well, the WIA, they can't add teams, they can't get a shot clock, blah, blah, blah. It was like, and now we're going to give high school kids money? So next Wednesday, the WIA is going to vote on this NIL for high school kids. What does Robbie say and think about this, the potential of it happening?
Yeah, I think the potential is remarkably low. It's incredibly slim, Ebo, that you would see something like that come through and play itself into fruition.
But 31 states are 31 states already have it. You don't think it's going to pass on Wednesday?
I'd be surprised, Ebo, if it winds up passing. There's a lot of states across the spectrum across this great country, Ebo, that have shot clocks that, you know, do things a lot differently than the WIA does. Things move incredibly slow. I think over in Stevens Point, where they are headquartered, Ebo, you know, people are still going to the drive-in to see Saturday Night Fever and E.T., for example, because things move so remarkably slow over with the WIA brass. It's still 1982 over there. And Ebo, I could be totally wrong when this is all said and done. There are some surprises from time to time. This just seems like an idea that this state and this governing body is not ready to handle. It's not ready to have that can of worms open. And we've seen this on the college level, Ebo, right? Once that genie's out of the bottle, man, it's impossible to put it back. And we've seen this in college sports. Everybody is struggling to find answers in terms of how to make this work and how to do it right, because it's gotten to be just the wild, wild west. I can guarantee you right now, Ebo, that's the last thing in the world the WIA wants and is going to want to try to monitor and handle statewide.
And Rob, what was the other thing you were talking to me about WIA? If you're good for, was it 3 years in a row, you got to bump up into a division?
So what the WIA is doing, Ebo, is they've added in the last year. It's going to go into effect next year, this performance, you know, in essence, I think they call it like a performance enhancing chart or something to that effect. If a team in various sports is very good or dominant in X amount of years, you know, if you make a state finals, you get a certain amount of points. If you make the state semifinals, you get a certain amount of points. If you make a sectional final, you get a certain amount of points. And even if there's a stretch of, let's call it 3 or 4 years, where you perform at a really high level and you're a smaller school, you would jump up a division. They don't do this in division. You know, Division One teams, there's no higher spot they can go. But in Division Two, you can go up to Division One. In Division Three, you can go up to two, et cetera. Right, four can go to three, and that's going to start next year, Ebo. And you're going to see some real recent state powers, for example, Pewaukee in boys basketball, Wisconsin Lutheran, where Con Knipple was this year in boys basketball and won a state championship. Teams like that, Ebo, are going to take a jump up in divisions. Now, the flaw in that, obviously, is in high school, Ebo, you cannot, or at least technically you're not supposed to be out recruiting players. So you can get a batch of kids that come through your school like they've had at Pewaukee boys basketball the last 3 or 4 years with the Janowskis and Milicevic, who's at Iowa State right now, and players like that come through and elevate your program to a certain level, Ebo. But then when those various classes leave your school, you might be back to just being an average unit and an average basketball team. And at that point in time, Ebo, that's when the WIA jumps you up a division, when all your good players are gone. So it's almost like, you know, when you took the Fab Five with Michigan and the WIA found out 3 years later they were getting all this money and they punished the school, and then Michigan had to serve various sanctions like not playing in the NCAA tournament or you know, being penalized in terms of wins and losses or things like that, stripped out scholarships. It's that next generation that pays the price, Reggie Bush at USC or whatever. Nobody's done anything wrong in the WIA. They've actually done things right to win these amount of games. But Evo, what's happening is they're going to pay the price for being good when a lot of their good players are gone and they'll never be that good again. And you're going to see it in all these sports coming up. It's a really flawed model. It's something that has high school coaches buzzing and really upset about. And across the board, Evo, it doesn't make a lot of sense, which is why when you asked me the first question about the NIL and the WIA, a lot of times when you think something should go a certain way, Evo, with the WIA, it goes the sure. other way, because very rarely do things make sense with the WIA.
Robbie, love it, dude. And usually I'll play like Led Zeppelin or Pearl Jam for your outro, but in honor of the WIA, and you said it, a little Saturday Night Fever, I got to go a little Bee Gees off the soundtrack Saturday Night Fever for you. I can just see you doing a little disco move out there on the floor under a disco ball, Robbie. I can see it.
Well, strange enough, Evo, I had this music in before you called, and I was doing my own disco dancing at home. So, yeah, ironically, you're playing the perfect song because we exited here today.
I mean, what's the mind meld we got, Robbie? Hey, very quickly, any faith in the Bucks for the playoffs?
I tell you what, to answer your question long term, absolutely not. Can they win a series? Yes, because they got the right matchup. They're not going to get Philly, and they're not going to get Miami. I know Jimmy Butler got hurt last night, but assuming Jimmy Butler was going to play, Evo, Philly and Miami were terrible matchups for Milwaukee. Indiana's a better matchup, I think, for them. Obviously, as everybody knows, the whole key is Giannis. If he can't go at least five of those seven games, they're not winning that series. And then they're going to have a wild off season because they might completely tear that thing apart at this point in time. That'd be two straight games where they lost it in round one, Evo. But I do think if Giannis can come back, Evo, and play, you know, five games inside that series, let's say out of the seven, they could steal it against Indiana. But I don't like them in round two, no matter who they're playing. They're a team that doesn't defend, and they've been going the wrong way, you know, most of the year, and certainly under the Doc Rivers watch here. It's a really flawed basketball team.
Robbie, we love you, buddy. Oh, and thumbs up or thumbs down, Pat Murphy and the Brewers?
Thumbs up after yesterday, man. That's not only do you win the game 1-0, what was that done in about 2 hours?
That was beautiful. Rob?
That is how baseball should be played, my friend.
Rob, we love you, buddy. We love you. Dance. Go disco dance. Go disco dance.
All right, baby. See ya.
See you, buddy. Kenny Rogers once said that, you know, every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away, knowing what to keep, because every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser. And the best thing that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. Well, someone's career has now died. He was awake when it happened, though. You know, he didn't know when to hold him. He didn't know when to fold him. He sure as hell didn't know when to walk away. Didn't know when to run, either. And I think he was counting his money, even if he was sitting at the table. But there will be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Well, my friends, the dealing's done for one individual in the NBA. That would be Jontay Porter from the Toronto Raptors. The man's been banned from the league for life. An investigation revealed that he had disclosed confidential information to bettors, limited his participation in at least one game while he was with the Raptors, and bet on NBA games while playing in the G League. Again, the NBA had a big old investigation and said, you know what? We're closing up shop on you, bud. His ban, released an announcement that Porter's banned, that its investigation does remain open and that it's sharing information with federal authorities. As the reached out to the Department of Justice and the FBI for comment. All right, now we're waiting for some comment. Here's a little quote here from Adam Silver. There is nothing more important than protecting the integrity of NBA competition for our fans, our teams, and everyone associated with our sport, which is why Jontay Porter's blatant violations of our game rules are being met with the most severe punishment. Check this out for Jontay Porter. Into the investigation. This dude bet at least 13 times on NBA games through a friend's account. He bet $54,000 on NBA games and won $21,965. He did not bet on games that he played, and he plays for the Raptors, right? He also bet on the Raptors to lose. Imagine you're betting on the team that you play for to lose, and they go out there and win. What are you doing in the locker room? Are you dapping guys up, be like, hey, good game? Or you'd be like, man, really? Really? The NBA's investigation into this also revealed that Jontay Porter, he disclosed confidential information about his health to a bettor before a March 20th game, where another bettor placed $80,000 bet on Porter to win $1.1 million, wagering that he would underperform, which he did, but the bet was then frozen and not paid out. Because that was a big red flag for the bookmakers. They're like, okay, Jontay Porter's not a name. Like, he's not a big name at all. Why on prop bets are we getting huge money from one individual for prop bets on Jontay Porter? And that's where it all started to come unraveled. As this dude, 13 times on a friend's account, again, bet $54,094 on NBA games and only won $21,965. Is it even worth it? Like, I guess if you're got an addiction, maybe? But is it even worth it? I mean, you just threw away your career. You're done. It's over. Lifetime ban for him. The second NBA player since the year 2000 to be banned from the league. The other was O.J. Mayo in 2016, but his was a two-year ban. Porter's the first player to receive a lifetime ban since Roy Tarpley of the Dallas Mavericks was banned for life in 1995. Dude, come on, man. Are you playing the NBA? He made $2.3 million over three seasons from the Grizzlies. And for the Raptors, his contract... two-way contract with the Raptors this 2023-2024 is valued at just above $400,000. So that brings his career total from the NBA at $2.7 million. But, you know, I got a fever. I got an itch. And I got to scratch it. Let's bet on our team to lose. What? Crazy. And then, you know what, Tim Donaghy, the referee that was caught. Now, he got in deep with a bookie. And that referee was like, you know, rigging games too in the favor of him trying to win bets. So, I mean, I don't know. Is there a problem? Well, this problem was sniffed out. Crazy, crazy, man. A lifetime ban. All for what? And now you got the feds on your ass. Good luck. Let's go to the phones. Line one. Good morning. Who do we got?
What a bunch of malarkey that is.
Vagabond John. What's up, brother?
I think the biggest thing out of that story, because here's the thing. NBA... what's the number one sponsor now? I mean, what a joke for a commissioner to come out and be like, we're all about integrity, right? And
integrity.
It's just DraftKings. It's just BetMGM.
This statement of Jontay Porter's lifetime ban brought to you by DraftKings. He's now banned for life for betting on the NBA.
Like, the biggest thing about this story, that he's Michael Porter's brother. But, I mean, the dude was undrafted, playing in the G League, betting on NBA games. They're trying to make this like a big-time NBA player gets caught gambling. I'm like, this dude played in, like, I don't know, 20 games in his career. And all the when he was betting, to your point, I'm like, oh, what is he doing in the locker room? No, he wasn't on the team. He was in the G League betting on the NBA.
So yeah, he wasn't the G League. Yeah, you're right. He wasn't the G League when he bet on the lose. It's like
the one thing here that, you know, should be cause for concern is him disclosing, you know, the prop betting piece when he was in an NBA game. But everything else is like, I don't know if that should even be illegal, right? Like, if you're a league that you're all of your sponsors, everybody that's trying to get in touch with you now are gambling companies, how are you going to limit this much? You know, like, are these guys allowed to bet on baseball? Are these guys allowed to bet on football? If they're in the G League, are they allowed to bet on any worldwide basketball? Like, where is the line? I don't really know. And these players... are just constantly getting contacted by gambling companies.
Well, and just think, I mean, we've seen it in sports too, where, like, you've got guys that, like, it's not legal gambling, it's like bookmakers that are getting in the ears of people, like, you know, point shaving. I mean, hell, it happened in college basketball. You got, like, the referee in the NBA. You got other guys that are, like, in deep with some guys who are going to break your knees or make you wear cement shoes and you're sleeping in the bottom of a river, you know?
So I just think for a commissioner of any league right now to come out there and say, we're all about integrity, like, get off the stage.
Integrity.
Like, no, you're not. You opted for this world. This is not going to be the last NBA player this decade. I can guarantee you that. And these bookies are smart, man. They have cement shoes. They've got, you know, Tommy guns. They've got all the connections they need. They're going to get information out of these low-level NBA players one way or the other, and I bet you this guy's getting paid a bag under the table outside, so for whatever his services were, for whatever bookie, right? So
yeah.
I just think this whole story is just a bunch of malarkey. And
well, it happened in the NFL, too. Like, all those guys from the Lions got suspended and one, you know, kicked out of the league, but they were betting, like, some of them that admitted that they don't know how the gambling policy works because they were betting on other sports, but they were betting, they got suspended because they were betting on other sports, but in team facilities. Like, you can't do it on the plane or the bus or the locker room, you know, or any team facility. You can't do it when you're in the hotel, like, for a team stuff, even if you are betting on other leagues, you know?
So there's just no clarity for these players. So I'm kind of on the player side here. Like, what, you know, beyond the one time that he gave that information, like, that should be probably a 3 to 4 year ban, right? But to make an example out of the low level NBA player, I just think it's weak. You go to the NCAA, they're weak, right? You go to NBA, now they're weak. Everybody's beholden to these gambling companies. Even down, Evo, now we have the state of Wisconsin and the WIAA and the 530 schools that are in the WIAA moving towards bringing NIL to the high school level.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, this is one step closer. Now we're going to have kids gambling on sports. So way to go, world. This is what you wanted. Legalized sports betting. And here we are. This is your headline.
Remember Calvin Ridley when he was injured. He wasn't even playing, right? And he bet it was like a couple thousand dollars on NBA and NFL games. He was hurt. He wasn't even playing. And he got suspended that year for betting on the NFL. And he wasn't even playing. He's just, I was just hurt. Like, I didn't realize. And then he's like, I made a stupid mistake. I effed up. And then he got suspended for a year for betting, like, it was like a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah, these guys, I mean, they're not going to college, go to college. They're not attending any class. They don't know anything, right? They're just like you and I. They're just as dumb, right? So, all of a sudden, like, if you and I, Evo, got $500,000 sent to our bank account tomorrow, you know, I don't know about you, but I'd probably tickle a little bit of gambling, you know, set some limits. But it's what these guys do. Culture they're in. You talk about, you know, was Michael Jordan suspended for taking all of his teammates' money in poker games? You know, I'm like, these guys gamble. That's what they do. And to have no limits, no clarity, no rules, and then start handing out lifetime bans to low-level things, I think it's just soft by these leagues. They need to figure it out for themselves. But
well, I understand the Jontay Porter when he's like, he was like told his medical information to a bookie and a bettor. And he's like, I don't know if he feigned an injury or faked it, but like the bet hit because he was involved in it and it was an NBA game. And then that's the one that raised the red flag. So, I mean, when you're,
that one for sure is on him. That one for sure. But again, is it a lifetime ban? Is it a 4 year ban? Because, I mean, these guys he's 26 years old. 4 year ban kind of ends his career anyway. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
And hey, speaking of NIL money for, you know, the vote on it next Wednesday for WIAA, Rob Reichel was just on and said he doesn't think it's going to pass. But if it does, I mean, like the Driftless Social Boys. You know, get like a Mount Horeb athlete every time he goes up for a shot. Instead of yelling out Kobe or Jordan, you yell out like Driftless Social Swish. You know, yell out
Vesper.
Got it. Fish on Fridays. Got it. There's opportunities. You know,
I think that could get so ugly, man. You get these 16, 17 year old kids having NIL deals now. That's where I'd probably for sure draw a line, if not. Should have probably done something a little clearer in college, but man, I mean, we're in a weird spot in sports right now with how everybody's getting compensated. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how.
Think about it. Speaking of sport for Bucks, I saw maybe this was like 2 days ago. You had tweeted at Grant. Were you trying to be like I don't know what you're trying to do about the Bucks winning their title? You had the list of excuses of why they won, like, you know, injuries to the Nets.
No. This is a reaction to another guy who, you know, obviously Giannis got injured, and he tweeted out, man, all of our Wisconsin sports teams just have the worst playoff injury luck. And I said, hold on now. Hold on now. We won a championship in 2020 when Joel Embiid tore his meniscus, the number one overall seed, one week before the playoffs started. You had a series versus the Nets where Kyrie Irving and James Harden missed time. And then you played against the Hawks where Trae Young was cooking our ass, and then he rolled his ankle and is a non-factor for the last two or three games.
You missed one bullet point in that. Is Kevin Durant had too big of feet because when he went up, pulled up for a three, his like size, 18 shoe was just barely on the line. It counted as a 2-pointer. You missed one right there.
That one, and then also you wanted to bring back up, well, Giannis' knee bent backwards, and I'm like, yeah. Think about what you just said. We saw on live TV, we all thought Giannis' knee exploded, and by the grace of God, he had no major injury. I mean, if you want to talk about injury luck, everybody watched that on national TV. Every Bucks fan had their hearts ripped out. We thought we were panicking, thinking he may be gone the entire next year, right? We thought we were dealing with a Nick Chubb situation. And no, he just missed 2 weeks. I mean, that was incredible injury luck. So I think for Wisconsin sports fans, I don't know if we have necessarily a leg to stand on playoff injuries. If Jay Cutler doesn't get hurt and Caleb Haney doesn't throw a pick six to B.J. Raji, Aaron Rodgers probably has zero Super Bowls. So, look, I mean, if you want to go through it. Also, I realized I did Joe Barry a little bit of a disservice this entire year when people were giving him crap for dropping into coverage, right?
Oh, Preston Smith against Devontae Adams against the Raiders?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just dropping him in his own coverage, right? So, anytime you drop a deep tackle in zone coverage, the Packer fans were just lambasted. And I'm like, do Packer fans remember that the only reason we made it to a Super Bowl is because we dropped B.J. Raji into coverage and he got a pick six?
Teach me how to Raji.
I should have used that, Evo. I missed an opportunity.
Teach me how to Raji. Yeah, dude. I wouldn't change it for the world, though, man. You know?
No, that was a hell of a ride. Yeah. Hey, maybe we'll get another one up here. Real quick on the draft.
Yeah.
Love going into a draft week with absolutely no pressure. Was talking to it with a buddy.
Yeah.
The only thing that probably will piss me off is if we take a running back in the first round, just because I don't think there's any running backs worth it.
Not happening.
But other than that, they could pick literally any other position in the first five picks, and it's this team's already set, man. There's no immediate major need other than maybe linebacker, but if they go out there with the team they have today, awesome. So we have got five picks that we can really focus on buying developmental players that, can contribute in the next year or so. So how about that?
How about them apples?
Week. No stress.
How about them apples, baby? Megamon, hey, you got any shows coming up for Ron Supper Club, your band?
We've got a show May 4th in Milwaukee. I got to double check.
May 4th? You guys going to dress up in like Star Wars gear?
So it's Star Wars, but it's also the Kentucky Derby. So we're thinking about focusing on the cantina style. So we're cooking up a couple of costumes.
Be careful with those mint juleps, buddy, because I know how you like to throw them back, all right?
After the set. I just got to focus on doing it after.
I don't know how easy it is for a drummer to keep that 4-4 beat when he's like, about 12 mint juleps deep. I think you could do it, though.
We'll test it out. All righty, bud.
See you, buddy.
Later.
See you, Johnny. Megamon John, my man. Oh, the gambling stuff. I mean, Pandora's box has been opened in a lot of different avenues besides gambling in these past, handful of years. It ain't going back in, I'll tell you that. You better strap in. I guess adapt or die. And if you're going to gamble, just don't get caught if you're those pros.